the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, there are so many things in the Bible that become part of the common vocabulary, sayings and verses that they become so, you know, beloved and well-known, I think people may not even realize that they come from the pages of God's Word. And one of these is from Matthew 6. I know you've heard people say this, Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, we'll look at the larger context of that and more of Matthew 6, plus your phone calls and Bible questions on today's edition of Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here, along with Bert Harper, and we're deeply honored that you're listening, and we invite you to get a copy of the Bible and turn to Matthew 6, if you would. But Bert, I think I've heard that my whole life. I know my very godly grandmother used to say it to me, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Did you hear that sometimes growing up?
I did, and whether I knew it was in the Bible or not, I'm not so sure, but I knew it sounded like it should be if it wasn't, and it was. And so, listen, your treasure's important, and what do you treasure? And so where are you laying it up? Where are you keeping it? And so Jesus is really putting the emphasis on eternity. That's what you do. This is temporal. What you have down here, the car you drive, the house you live in, these are temporal. And now, will relationships be eternal? Well, it's different than it is in heaven. But yes, there's those relationships that will be real in heaven. They knew Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. So there's no doubt. So what are you spending your time on concerning your treasure? Where is your heart? Alex, mm-hmm. I think it's a great question myself, brother.
Well, let's look at this. Let's go back to verse 19. And by the way, I want to give a big shout out to our friend Dylan Burrows, who helped out yesterday. I was participating in our final youth camp of the summer up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Well, really the rural area outside of Harrisburg. We were about 52 miles from Harrisburg, PA, and I couldn't be on yesterday. I sincerely thank Dylan for helping out. I guess you and he did a great show yesterday. I know, Bert.
It was a great day. I just loved it. When we were studying the Lord's Prayer, it's known as the Lord's Prayer. A better name for it would honestly be the Disciples' Prayer. He was teaching disciples how to pray. And so it was the day of prayer. And so, man, it's a joy to work with Dylan. And listen, he is in the Lord. He knows the Lord. He knows the Word. So he brings a lot to Exploring the Word, and we thank God for that.
Amen. Well, he is a blessing, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more from him as the days go by. But let's go back to verse 19. And again, these are the words of Christ. In my Bible, it's in red. It's the words of Jesus. And verse 19, he says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal." And of course, famously, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." Bert, the word store up, and it's really a noun that's used as a verb, storehouse. Now, I've got a great word here. A storehouse is a noun, but here it's used as a verb. Do not storehouse for yourselves material things, things that you treasure. Now, we know that it's okay to have things. My dad used to say, it's okay to have things, but don't let things have you.
Amen.
But Bert, you know the word store up. How does your translation render it?
It is lay up.
And lay up.
Yeah. If you ever heard lay by, you know, and you can lay by and pay things ahead. I know some, we did that with, back in when we were raising three sons and Christmas mm-hmm. would come around and, yeah. You know, some things we had to pay on it gradually so we could go and get it. But well, lay up those treasures in heaven. Now, if we lay treasures up in heaven, Alex, what treasures can you have in heaven? That question comes to me. Do you have an answer?
Well, I think the greatest treasure of all, of course, is everlasting life, redemption, salvation through faith in Jesus. But also, you know, we have crowns in heaven. We talk about that. But I'm going to tell you some of the treasures, things that I know they're either in heaven or bound for heaven that I treasure. Are some people that I was determined were going to get saved. Yeah. And I'm thinking of a couple right now that after I got saved at age 21, there were a couple of people that I was deeply concerned for their soul, and I prayed and I begged God at any cost to get them under the sound of the gospel, and eventually they did. Both of these guys are in heaven now, but to me, when we lay up treasures in heaven, that includes people that we're doing our utmost to see that they become born again.
Amen. Have you ever heard the phrase treasured relationships?
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And so these treasured relationships that we may have down here, something that is vital is those treasures, relationship that is eternal. And so the other thing, this just hit me. Notice the things that will destroy that. Moth, you know, they eat away at cloth, and that's the reason they have cedar chest. You may have one, or Angie may have had one. My wife had one. That was one of the, I would say, the when she we got married or graduation, I forgot which one it was, but she got a, quote, cedar chest. And the things that went in the cedar chest was things that were cloth that where the moths could not do that. And then rust, it destroys. And then thieves break through and steal. Now, this seems like what it's talking about, anything you store here upon earth can be destroyed, okay, mm-hmm. the treasures. But in heaven, let me see, we find in Revelation that it's going to be no illness, no disease. We could also add to this, there's no moths and no rust and no thieves. None of them are going to be in heaven, are they?
Well, they're not. And, you know, I mean, those things are natural degradation or wearing away or corrupting. A natural corruption, a corruption of weather or the elements, and then moral corruption. So whether it's the moth eating out the fabric or whether it's the rust due to the oxidation, the humidity and the rain, or the moral degradation of somebody breaking the window and coming in and stealing. In other words, your true treasures in heaven cannot be touched by the things that ruin life down here on earth. But I would be remiss if I did not bring out the word treasures. Bert, in the Greek, I've talked about this before. This is so, I'm going to say it's so cool, because it is. Guess what that word is in the original language?
Tell me.
Thesaurus.
Oh, yes, I remember
storehouse.
That, yes.
Now, maybe in high school you got a thesaurus, which is a storehouse of words. It's an ancient Greek word, and it means a storehouse of words. And I'm trying to remember, there was a pretty famous guy that used that terminology. But a storehouse of words, well, you have a storehouse of things that you treasure. You know, and it could be, and I'm not talking about like unhealthy pride or something like that, or arrogance. No, I'm not talking about that. But the things that you take joy in, the things that you take pleasure in, and yeah, it's our walk with the Lord. It's what God's been able to do through us. Maybe our influence for the Lord, or it's, you know, we've experienced answered prayers. And, you know, Angie and I, we're always looking back, and one of the things that we do, Bert, and I'm just telling you, it's kind of a tradition with us, but on January the 1st, we always take a few hours and we pray and we talk about where God has brought us and we pray about what we might be able to do in the year ahead. And that's a storehouse of treasured memories and praises, isn't it, Bert?
It really is. And when we have that and it, you feel it, think about the storehouses in the temple. On either side, they had these building storehouses where they would come and they would store them and they were taken out and needed. It was a neat way to construct it. Well, in heaven, listen, I don't know everything it's going to be, but listen, it's waiting on you. This is one thing you send ahead, Alex, okay? Mm-hmm. You send that ahead. You can't take it with you. But you do send those treasures, the crowns, so that they'll be there when he can give them to you. The relationships that you've had and built, and they've come to know the know Christ as Lord. So this is one of those things in heaven, not on earth. You move to verses 22 and 23. I'll read that as well. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, and your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Well, what wins, light or darkness? Darkness cannot overcome light, but light overcomes darkness, Alex.
It really does. The light wins.
Every time. Follow the light, right? Follow the light.
I have taken great encouragement and joy in John chapter 1. It said, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Some translations will say the darkness did not comprehend it. But the darkness cannot eclipse the light.
Amen.
And, you know, if you've ever been in a building, in fact, I was in a church just several weeks ago, and in the middle of the service, there was a power outage. And when a room goes dark, or maybe you've been in a dark basement, even a tiny amount of light helps, doesn't it?
Makes a difference.
it really does. And so here in 22 and 23, when it's talking about your eye, the eye is the lamp of the body. Okay, your eyes give you vision, and you can see. And what you're looking upon, what you're gazing on, what you're feeling, because look, the eye takes in visual stimuli, light. The brain takes those signals and helps you make sense of it. That's how we see. We can find out where we're going. We have depth perception. But I think 22 and 23 is saying to us, Bert, what we gaze upon and therefore we take in, it influences us. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is actually darkness, how great is that darkness? I just want to say to everybody listening, and Bert, I'll throw it to you, but your eye may be looking on things right now that you need to turn away from, folks. There may be things that you're putting into your heart, your mind, ultimately your soul. You need to be looking somewhere else, looking unto Jesus, because Jesus is the light.
The eyes and the hands. Bible makes a big deal out of both of those. And so you want to let the light shine in, and you want to let the hands that love the Lord praise Him and serve Him. Well, this is Exploring the Word, and you're listening here on American Family Radio, and we're going to be back and continue in Matthew chapter 6. We think we'll finish it today, so hold on. I think you'll enjoy it.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only options, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hours, loving them, helping them choose life, and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250, baby. Or give online at preborn/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Praise Him for friend and family.
That's what we want to do here on Exploring the Word. We want to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We do that, praising Him, music, yes, by opening the Word, by just prayer requests, praises, questions. We're here to praise the Lord. We're in Matthew chapter 6, and we got one verse that kind of stands alone, but it introduces verses 25 all the way through the end of the chapter. That's verse 34, and you'll hear this. If you read the King James, it'll say, take no thought. I love that. The other one is, in my version, New King James, do not worry. Same thought.
Yeah.
But before that, Alex, you talk about, you know, phrases that are repeated and it came out of the Bible. Let me give you another. You can't serve two masters.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
I heard
verse
that
24.
As well. That's verse 24, but I'd heard that. You can't serve two masters, and it is in the Bible. It's a verse. It stands alone by that. I mean, it just stands alone. If you had this anywhere and it was by itself, one chapter, one verse, it would stand alone. Here it is. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Another word for that is riches, money.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Alex, I agree with that, but I sure have seen a lot of people try.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? In the ancient world, and by the way, talking about treasure, maybe people are thinking about something like greed, right, or materialism. In the ancient world, not only the ancient Jews, but the Greeks and the Romans, they made much about the virtues and the vices. And, you know, throughout human history, really, they talked about what we call seven core vices: pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, anger, and laziness, or sometimes slothfulness, S-L-O-T-H, sloth. And, you know, when it says here, it kind of summarizes whether it's storing up treasures on earth, greed and materialism, or in 22:23, your eyes, what you look at, and what you take in and then think about, even almost to the point of obsession, and that can be envy, or that could be lust, or that could be anger, and just letting something fester, or being lazy, and, you know, jealousy, things like that. And verse 24 is a perfect summation. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Some translations say God and wealth. But I'm going to put it this way, Bert. You can't serve heaven and earth. You can't serve the spirit and the flesh. You can't serve God and sin. And, you know, of those, and I really do think it's talking about what we would call some of the vices, whether it's greed or whether it's, you know, envy or whatever, we have to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, and let me just say, praise God, the Holy Spirit will absolutely help us if we're willing. We can purpose where the loyalty of our heart will be, and the priority, the fidelity, the loyalty of our heart should be to God and the things of God, and we'll find that in His Word.
Amen. So the question is, what is mastering you? Okay? Yes. What is mastering you? We walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. In that context, man, we trust God. We do not trust what? We don't trust that we can see. We don't trust that. No, we trust God. Over in the book of Hebrews, it even talks about we have faith in someone, in something we have not seen, but yet we trust him. We see the evidence. We know of him. We have his word. So we serve God. Serving and trusting, those two go together. Whomever I trust, that is whom I will serve. Don't try to serve two masters. It's like being pulled both ways. No, Christ first and always. Well, Alex, verses 25 through 34, again, I already introduced that, but you'll find this phrase used again. In the New King James, it says, do not worry. If I'm not mistaken, in the King James, it says, take no thought. And so what does it say? Let me just start reading this. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Here it is again. Here it is. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles or pagans seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Last two verses. Here it is. With that in mind, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day it's of its own trouble. Alex, I know that's a lengthy reading for radio, but this passage, I just tell you, it is so important. It has added to my life. This has added to my life about as much as any passage I have in the scriptures. That, yes, there's things that I know, they bother me, yes. But does that mean I don't trust God, or do I mean I trust God through them and while I'm waiting for something to happen? Do I trust God no matter what?
We trust God no matter what. And, you know, there's just good reasoning here. The Lord Jesus, and these are the words of Christ, he's just given us good reason. And like every good preacher, you know, he lays out these truths and then gives a relatable illustration. You know, consider the lilies of the field. This is in verse 28. I mean, in other words, look at the flowers. They do not toil or spin, yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed like one of these. And here's the takeaway in verse 30. If God so clothes the grass of the field, and the word clothes, C-L-O-T-H-E-S, in other words, God looks after the flowers in the field. God looks after the birds and the animals. I mean, Bert, I've heard it said that humans are the currency of heaven. Let me just say this. Currency, the image is on money of the one who minted it, right? U.S. currency. Well, God's image is on us because that's why human life is sacred. Human life is so valuable because we're made in God's image. We're people for whom Christ died, sinners for whom Christ died. And so if God looks after plants and animals and his physical creation, can't we be completely confident he's going to look after us, the humans minted, made in his image? Of course. And therefore, he says, don't worry. And Bert, I got to tell you, I'm preaching it myself. Now, God's brought me a long way. You know, we came up kind of hard. And somebody asked me, I'll tell you this, I'll throw it back to you. Somebody asked me in an interview, you know, if you could go back and Go back to when you were 18 or 19 or something and tell yourself something. What would the you of now go tell your younger self? And I said, I would tell him, don't worry. God's going to look after you, you know?
Amen.
And it's all going to work out. And I don't know. They say that we're in a time of great anxiety. I firmly believe this. Of course, we're supposed to be responsible and say our prayers, work hard, and live right. That's what responsible, grown-up, godly people do. But, Bert, I am convinced in good times, times of tribulation, look, it's going to work out because a loving God does not abandon his believers, his disciples, or even his creation at all.
Amen.
Don't you feel that?
I feel it all the way. Three or four things that you need to look at. The difference in needs and wants. Everything that is listed here, what will it eat? Now, again, I may want ice cream, okay, but God provides for me cornbread and peas, okay? Now, that's a southern delicacy, okay? And so, but, you know, what we shall eat. The difference in wants and needs. And then clothing. Well, I understand I might want the most modern clothing, but God provides clothing. These are needs that God says, I will provide. I will take care of you. So take no thought. Do not worry about your life. The other thing is adding to your stature. You know, okay, God's made you in his image. He's made us with the way we are. Alex, have you ever heard of God's marks of ownership in your life?
I have heard of that.
Okay, let me
praise God for it.
Yeah, let me just be very personal on a testimony. You're just talking about bringing up. I know if you got a close up, you'd see space between my teeth on my upper teeth, and you know, I can remember having pictures made in junior high school. I got to noticing it that time, and in high school. And I would smile, but my mouth would always be closed because I didn't want to show the space in my teeth. I went to a meeting, and I heard about that. God's given you your marks of ownership. Is there something in your life that you would like to hear? It was add to your statute that you would like to change, but you could not. I know they put braces on teeth, but not in my family, not at what our economic level, that wasn't an option. And so I had these spaces and I said, okay, God, here, I give that to you. You made me with this that I have. I'm to take care of them. I'm to brush them. I'm to go to the dentist to make sure everything is taken care of. But there's nothing that I can do apart having braces and preaching and speaking. I didn't need the braces, okay? So that was I was easy to take care of, make that decision. But then I remembered as well as I do, God, these are your marks of ownership in my life, and I'm not going to just keep my mouth closed when I'm smiling. I don't mind showing the world God's marks of ownership in my life. He's the one that has made me. And so I don't know if that registers with anyone. It may be someone because they feel like, man, I'm too short, I'm too tall, whatever it may be. But listen, if you've given yourself to the Lord and he's made you, you're ready for him, serve him the way you are. Yeah, you can correct some things and make it look better. But those things that you can't correct, receive those, Alex, as it was with me. You know, does that make sense to you? Is that the way you understood that when you heard God's marks of ownership in your life?
Absolutely. Bert, that is so good. That is so good. You know, we've just had 8 summer youth camps and hundreds of teenagers and going through, you know, the insecurities of adolescence and things like that. And, you know, we do a lot of apologetics. More and more I talk, and Carl Kirby and our staff, we say, please believe that God loves you. Please believe that God made you. And Bert, I know you've heard the very famous story of the missionary Gladys Aylward. And she was a very faithful missionary to the Chinese people. But she grew up in, I think it was the 40s, when, you know, there were movie stars, and she wanted to grow up and be a beautiful movie star. Well, she was not tall, and she had, you know, black hair and bangs, and she was just not movie star material. But she found Christ, and she became a missionary, and she was sent to a place where nobody had succeeded. And frankly, she looked like a rather diminutive Asian, but she wasn't. But she went to a missionary post where nobody wanted to go because nobody had ever succeeded. But she succeeded because her stature, her appearance, Gladys Aylward, looked enough like the other Chinese people that they trusted her, believed in her. Amen. And there have been movies made about her. And she, at the end of her life, she said, "I thank God for how he made me." And really, it relates to Psalm 16. "The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places." In other words, the boundary lines of our life. And you know what? Billy Graham said it. Bert, I'll throw it back to you. Billy Graham said, "God made us."
Amen.
He can fix us if we're broken. And we are fearfully, wonderfully, and dare I say, purposefully made. And so for those earmarks of God's ownership that you mentioned so beautifully, Bert, folks, get alone with God and thank God for the fact that he made you and how he made you.
Amen.
Because he has purposes for it.
He does. Let's finish up. We don't have a lot of time, but it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added." Seek first. Here it is again, Alex, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. I just want to say Matthew makes a big deal about this. The whole Sermon on the Mount is about kingdom living. That's the whole idea. And he said, in this kingdom living, you seek God's righteousness. He is holy. Let's please him. Well, we're going to take phone calls. That number is 888-589-8840. We would love your question here on Exploring the Word.
It's been 4 years since the overturn of Roe, but tragically, abortions have continued to rise. Today, the abortion pill accounts for more than 60% of all abortions, and last year alone, over 1.1 million babies lost their lives. That's why the work of Preborn Network Clinics is more urgent than ever. Every day, mothers facing unplanned pregnancies walk through Preborn's doors searching for hope. Instead of pressure and fear, they're met with love. Through a free ultrasound, mothers meet their baby for the very first time.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Just $28 sponsors one ultrasound. $140 helps rescue five babies. To donate, dial hashtag 250 and say baby. That's hashtag 250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/Bert Harper. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
And that's verse 34, just to reiterate, the Lord said, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I want to give that number because we're going to get to your calls and your Bible questions. It's 888-589-8840, 888 589-8840. We have a couple of lines open, so if you call in, you'll get through. We'd love to hear your Bible question. And I'm sure that, Bert, you and Dylan did a prayer request yesterday too, didn't you?
We did, and it was a great day. Tuesdays have become so special. It's hard to explain. You know, they were always good. These days are always good, but Tuesdays have become just a day of prayer, praise, and preaching the word, the three P's of what we do. And we just enjoyed, and again, we had a great time with Dylan.
Well, you ready to go to the phone
calls? Ready. Who's first?
Well, we're going to begin in that great place, Missouri. Steve in Missouri, you are the first caller on today's edition of Exploring the Word.
And thank you very much for taking my call and for all that both of you do.
God bless you. What
just,
you got,
just
Steve?
Go ahead, Steve.
You mentioned just a few minutes ago about God, us not worrying about anything, because God takes care of it, and he takes care of the animals. And it brought back to my memory a psalm that I read that talks about when God brings, like, droughts or famines or extreme cold or extreme hot against us because we sin so much, the animals have to suffer through that just as well. And it's our fault they are suffering because of the evil that we're doing. It was in a psalm, and I haven't been able to find it back for a while. But and actually, I wouldn't be surprised if Alex doesn't know it.
But, Steve, you mean you don't think I might remember that, huh? No, I love Alex. Alex has his memory. I don't have it. You know what he's talking about, Alex?
Well, it might be Psalm 105, because in Psalm 105, for one thing, it talks about God remembers his covenant forever, but it says he called down famine on the land and cut off their supplies of food. Now, some says he broke the staff of bread, but sometimes, and God always acts redemptively, but yes, that even in famine, when people and animals suffer, God raises up and God does ultimately provide. But, you know, I was talking about how God cares for the animals, and I believe he does. But yet, all of creation does suffer from human sin.
Yeah.
Not permanently, but yeah, I've seen people mistreat animals. I've seen the actions of people. Listen, somebody living in sin can cause their animals to go hungry, might cause their children to go hungry.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a good question about yourself. What will your sin cost others? Okay?
Wow.
It does not stand alone. We got on this the other day because someone struggling with pornography. And it is not an innocent sin. It is a form of adultery. It is. It's definitely fornication. But when it's done by a married man and his heart is turned, should be toward his wife, and we talked about the eye, Alex, you know, gazing, and
yeah,
you let that come in, it is wrong, it's horrible, and it will cost. And so ask that question, what will my sin cost others? Your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your animals, whichever. And so sin, it is serious, and we need to take it that way.
Wow, that's a great question, and Bert, a great observation. We're going to go to Ohio. William, I want to give that number again. We have lines open if you have a Bible question. 888-589-8840. William in Ohio, you're on Exploring the Word.
Great to hear y'all's voice. Thanks for your ministry as well. And I have a question about God's power and our access to that. There's verses in Ephesians where Paul talks about praying that people will understand the power that is available to believers, even, you know, comparing it to the power that God raised Jesus from the dead. how do we access that power as believers? Are there scriptures you can encourage us with?
Okay. Alex, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I mean, that's right. The whole idea. There is what God operates on us trusting him, faith. And then if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed, or tree, there's access. But let me just share this with you, and I'll throw it to you, Alex. It's in the confines of the sovereignty and will of God, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Let me say, Christ, before he ascended back to heaven in Matthew 28, he said, all power on heaven and earth belongs to me. And so Jesus, at least to a degree, I'm going to say deputizes his church with his authority and power. But we don't have all the power of God. But I think the Christian's power is in a number of areas, and it is all power from God. A portion of it is entrusted to us. But I think there's obviously prayer, and as long as we're praying in accord with God's word and in accord with things that are his will, John 15:16 says he will do it. So we have power by virtue of prayer. We have power in the gospel. Let me say, you know, we don't have any message of our own. We don't have any power of our own. But when we are proclaiming forth what God's word says, Bert, there's power in that.
Amen.
It says the word of God is powerful. And then we have the things God's entrusted to us in terms of really the spoken word. You know, the Bible talks about how a right word spoken at the right time is like apples of gold, you know? And so as the Holy Spirit gives us good words, all right, Bert, I've seen Christians have the power to reconcile enemies back to each other. I've seen Christians have the power to turn somebody's life around. Now, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, and it's by his power and for his glory. But let me say, we have our influence as well, don't we?
We really do, Alex.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. How did Jesus use his power? That's the question. I'm full of questions today, aren't I? Will you sin cost others? And now, how did Jesus use his power? He said this power that we have through the power of the Holy Spirit, he's come to glorify me. So the whole idea of anything that we, in our words, in our prayers, in our living, it should glorify God. Even when Jesus was in, we've just gone over that, the temptations of Christ. He defeated Satan in the power of his own humanity. It doesn't show that he, I'm God. Who do you think you're tempting? No, he didn't do that. He uses the word of God. And so the power that God has given to us through everything that he's given us is to glorify him. And if we're not using it that way, my personal opinion, you don't have it. You know, you don't have it.
Amen.
Well, Brent, do you say we have a question that's come in on Facebook?
Yes, I've got one from Facebook Messenger. It's from JJ. He says, is it scriptural to be delivered from pornography and alcohol, not strengthened to withstand temptation, not having to work on it every day and have a sponsor, but delivered, taken away like it never was? He said he has experienced this, but he can't find a biblical reference.
Okay. Alex, if it's a demonic power that's in a person's life, we have some people that Jesus healed, and even Paul, other apostles, it was immediate. I'm not so sure. If you give back to it, it can come in, but you can be delivered immediately, and the evidence is through Jesus delivering demoniac and different ones, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, James 4, verse 7 says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I know the caller is asking, or the person that emailed us online said not just resisting but being delivered. Yeah, I mean, I've met many people who said that they either, you know, took some substance and they were delivered in an instant. Now, I want to say this. Some people, you could pray in the name of Jesus, and Lord, in Jesus' name, set me free from this. And it might happen in an instant. It might happen over time. But I do believe in miraculous, instantaneous deliverance from things. I really do. I've known people that were drunkards. They accepted Christ, never touched it again. But I also know if it's a process, and even if you have to go to, you know, therapy or something like that. But here's the thing, and John Piper said this many years ago, the radio preacher John Piper. He said, too many are involved in the business of sin management rather than repentance. And for one thing, I'll say this, the deliverance of Jesus will be all the more rapid and all the more thorough when you want to be delivered.
Amen.
You know?
It is.
I mean, when you understand, whether it be porn or drugs or alcohol or tobacco or anger or whatever, and that thing becomes abhorrent to you because it's a wedge between you and the Lord, and you just turn from it and you turn from sin to Christ, the state of your heart is very key to how that restoration and rescue plays out, I believe.
Amen. Good word. Let me add one thing to it, and we got another caller on. Deliverance does not mean the absence of accountability. Okay? Yeah. And we're talking about those people that go through steps of them, yes, this far. You walk in the light that's been given you. But I do know both. I know those that's been delivered immediately, but it doesn't take away the accountability that I've had them come to me as their pastor and say, Pastor, this is where I was, but I need accountability. I've been their accountability partner, and I've assigned someone to be their accountability partner. Just because you're delivered does not mean, oh, man, it doesn't matter what I look at now. It doesn't mean I don't need to work in a liquor store. If it's, you catch what I'm saying? There's still boundaries to that. But we also know those that went through the process step by step because they needed that, and God was giving them faith. The just shall live by faith, each step of the way. And so pray that God would just do his work and you become more like Christ.
Amen.
Alex, we got another caller. Who is it?
I think we've got Trey in Mississippi. Trey, are you there?
I am. Can y'all hear me?
We can. Thanks for calling. What you got?
Well, I tried to call last week, but I didn't get through. But y'all were talking about Jesus's temptation and where he speaks Deuteronomy to Satan. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was reading in Exodus 34 and the Enduring Word app that you recommended that I love so much. But, you know, Moses sat at the feet of God on that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and he didn't eat bread or drink water. So he literally sat there and survived solely off the Word of God. And I just thought that was awesome, and it blew my mind. So I just wanted to share that with y'all. And I wanted to say thank you for Bert, about your testimony about your teeth, because I grew up in a similar situation. So that really touched my heart too. So
amen.
Thank y'all. I love y'all.
Amen. Thank you, Trey.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
Listen, follow God. The bottom line, Alex, you can try to figure everything out and, I've got theological training. I don't have very much. You don't have to have theological training to trust God.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen it, but the more you walk with him, being delivered, him giving you each step of the way, what you shall eat, what you shall wear, trust God. Alex, if I had a message to those who are listening today, trust the Lord in all your life, in all your ways. Acknowledge Him. He'll give you what you need. He really will, won't He?
He really will. I don't know that we have time for another question, but, you know, in John 4:34, and the caller was talking about how Jesus was, you know, in the wilderness fasting, but man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so the meat, the physical sustenance was the Word of God. And so in John 4:34, it talks about that. And the meat is to do the will of Him that sent me.
Amen.
The meat or the sustenance is God's Word, which not only is food for the soul, but it will sustain your body as well. Really.
Amen. It will. Hey, tomorrow we'll be in Matthew 7, still on the Sermon on the Mount. And can I dare say, Jesus doesn't let up.
Amen.
He continues pouring it on. And tomorrow we're going to look at that. I believe it'd be a blessing to you. Read ahead as we continue studying the Word of God in Matthew. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Tell someone about this program and AFR, but more than anything else, let people know about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.